In the ancient church, they had a greeting they would say when they began to officially celebrate Easter Sunday. The leader would stand up and say, "He is risen." And the people would respond with, "He has risen indeed." Good Resurrection Sunday morning, and thank you for joining us on the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. He has risen. We begin this worship today with a special prelude from Helen Ely on the sanctuary organ. This morning, as we come together to worship on this Easter morning, listen to our a cappella singers as they lead us in Alleluia, Alleluia, Give Thanks by Donald Fishel.
Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, Alleluia, give praise to His name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, give praise to His name. Come, let us praise the living God. Joyfully sing to our Savior.
Please pray with me. God of resurrection mornings, gather us on this day to be reminded of your power over life and death and your promise to bring us into your full fellowship by the work of Jesus Christ. May we experience in this time of worship a new revealing of your salvation by the power of this day. Amen. We turn now to one of the resurrection stories in the New Testament. These stories appear in all four Gospels. Each version is meant to emphasize an important aspect of this event. Today we look at the Gospel of John and what John teaches us. John, remember, was part of Jesus' inner circle. We turn to chapter 20, verses 11 through 16. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that what he had said about these things to her. May God bless these words of hope on this day of hope. Amen. We feature this morning our adult chancel choir as they bring us their anthem titled, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer," written by Philip Bliss. pray with me. Lord, let the words which now come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Today is Resurrection Sunday. For the church, it's a day of great celebration. Churches often do special music, have special things happen in worship, and even give something to each person as they leave the church. But that's not how the first Easter Sunday was supposed to begin. Our reading today is only a short part of the whole story that John records. Previously, he shares that the women were coming to the tomb to have someone roll away the stone so they could finish getting the dead body of Jesus ready for its final placement in the tomb. The plan would then be to close the tomb with the stone rolled back into place and let it sit for about a year before anything next would happen. That was the plan. That is what the women were up to. They were prepared to do their dutiful tasks because they were prepared for death. What they found asks the question, were they prepared for resurrection? And how exactly does one prepare for resurrection? I can't imagine what went through their heads when they arrived to find the tomb already opened with the stone rolled away, and after a quick exam, the body of Jesus was gone. This is one of those life-changing experiences where it's okay to think the worst. Had someone desecrated the tomb? Had his enemies taken the body so no one would be able to properly finish preparing it for the year-long process in the tomb? Now what would they do? What would the other followers of Jesus do? This resurrection morning seemed to ask more questions than it provided answers. Their reaction at first was very typical. They scattered back to their homes to run for cover. The one identified as Mary headed to find Peter and John and encourage them to come to the tomb. They did, and they didn't know how to handle resurrection morning either. They were as dumbfounded as Mary. Peter and John made a quick U-turn to the safety and cover of their homes, and this left only Mary at the tomb. And that's where our story picks up for today. She was overcome with the normal emotion of death, and as the text tells us, she began to weep. The text tells us also that in that moment, she makes one last peek inside the tomb, one last move of desperation. She sees what appears to be two angels who ask her, why is she weeping? She responds with the most practical answer for the moment, they have stolen the body of my Savior, Jesus. Then there's one of the greatest moments in the history of all of civilization. She turns, and there stands the resurrected body of Jesus. But just to add a little more drama, Mary thinks he's the gardener. It is only when he speaks to her does she recognize the voice, and she knows it is Jesus. Now she experiences resurrection firsthand on resurrection morning, and now she begins to wonder what she should do with that truth. In that moment, her helpless and despair were transformed into celebration and victory, such that it caused her to go back to the disciples and utter those famous words, I have seen the Lord. You know, death always brings us with a bit of uncertainty and helplessness and oftentimes despair. Resurrection brings us the certainty of forgiveness, hope, and a new life. This story of this resurrection should hit home with all of us. We've all been from a time to time in the place Mary was, not sitting near an empty tomb in a garden on the outskirts of Jerusalem, but in moments and places of empty tombs in our own lives. We have sometimes lived in the darkness of life, confused, uncertain, helpless, and in despair. That report from the doctor, that call in the middle of the night, papers we never wanted to see that were served to us, friends who were perfectly fine one day and then gone the next. There are those moments when we have no idea what to do with a child who will not listen, a business that appears heading for failure, a job we thought would be the best thing for us that's suddenly downsized and gone, a retirement, which we plan to be the time of easy life and comforting reward, and we find that it becomes a time that we have to keep working to make ends meet. These are times we so often have peered into a tomb and found it being just as empty as the tomb was for Mary. We humans know how to deal with death. We face some form of it almost every day. What we struggle with is resurrection. But resurrection is God's way of becoming like us and then providing us a path beyond death. Leo Ryan was a member of the California legislature during the Watts riots in the 60s and 70s. He wanted to write some legislation to address some of the problems of race, but before he began to write any of the words, he actually moved into the Watts neighborhood. He wanted to experience what life was like there firsthand. Many years later, he was appointed the director of the California prison system. And you guessed it, before he began work, he wanted to be locked up in a prison for a week and treated like a regular prisoner so he could experience what life in a prison amounted to for the prisoner. Jesus came into the world to live among us, to experience what we experience, to know who we are and what our fears are, to understand when and how we need help. Jesus even came to experience death as we experience death. But then Jesus wrote a new book. He changed the formula for life, for death, and then for life again. Jesus ended why we must ever worry about any form of death in our lives, and instead why we should concentrate on resurrection. And that is, for us, sometimes hard to do. We, like Mary, are used to experiencing death and confusing in the empty tombs of our lives, and we certainly don't know exactly how to experience resurrection. One of my seminary professors said it this way: why do we sometimes, as church people, still hang on to Good Friday when it's Easter Sunday? I think that's a good question for today. It's Easter Sunday. Are some of us still hanging on to Good Friday? Stephen Colbert is a comedian and popular talk show host who was only 10 years old when his father, who was a well-known physician, and his two older teenage brothers were all killed in a tragic commercial plane crash. This event caused him to personally experience the physical death of his father and his brothers, which sent him for many years into a spiritual death. In fact, he shares that by the time he graduated from college, he was certain about his claim to be an atheist. He was continuing to live on Good Friday. He did not know how to live on Resurrection Sunday. Then he shares that he was walking down the street in Chicago one evening when someone from the Gideon Society handed him a Bible with the New Testament and the Psalms. He was simply going to throw it in the nearby trash container, but something stopped him and caused him to open the book. On the first inside page, it had references to verses in the Bible for various issues. One such issue jumped out at him. It was anxiety. Colbert says he turned to that verse, and for some reason, even though he had read that verse before, it jumped out at him with a new meaning. That's exactly what resurrection does for us. Suddenly, he was reminded of his mother's faith and how her faith really kept her strong during the ordeal that hit their family. Colbert says that moment changed his life forever. He rekindled his faith through the Catholic Church, and he has ever since been involved, when he has time, even to teach classes at the church for both adults and youth. He and his wife Evelyn and their three children attend Mass often, and he will be the first one when asked to share his faith. Resurrection has a way of doing that. Mary experienced that when she went back and said, "I have seen the Lord." We all have moments of confusion in our life. We all have moments when we have no explanation for why things are happening. We all have moments when we start expecting one thing to happen, and when we arrive, something else has taken place. We all have moments when we're trying to look around and we all see nothing but empty tombs. But today, we also live in the presence of the one who was resurrected to bring resurrection to all the areas of our lives. The one who moved beyond Good Friday and created resurrection morning. May we reaffirm our faith. May we see the Lord. May we walk not in darkness but in light as we learn each day not only how to handle the deaths in our lives, but also how to handle resurrection. Amen and amen. Hillsong United is an Australian worship team that has created many meaningful contemporary musical songs. One of those, which covers the entire period called Holy Week, also builds to celebrate the Day of Resurrection. The title is Man of Sorrows. Please listen to the TPC Praise Team as they bring us this song, and listen as the song builds towards the victory in resurrection.
Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah. Stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. He's risen from the grave. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation.
As more and more people obtain their COVID vaccines, we are allowed to open more and more of our church And so besides having in-person worship each Sunday, we are also opening up other rooms and in particular our fellowship hall for outside groups and for expanded activities. We still have safe COVID practices, but we are looking forward to continuing to be an important voice and center of activity in the Enos Park neighborhood. One such activity we are planning is Family Fun Night this coming Friday at 6:30. This is designated for elementary age youth and their parents and will be a night full of music and dance, crafts and snacks, and we're converting our fellowship hall into an indoor carnival game room. The event will also end with local magician, the Amazing Dudley, presenting a magic show that has a Christian message. We invite all of you to call the church office if you're interested in attending that activity. Let me now invite all of you to join me in prayer this morning. Holy God, in Jesus Christ, we have the witness to your power over death in the recognition of your resurrection. That changed the world, and it changes our lives. We pray on this Resurrection Sunday that the presence of the living Christ will guide each one of our lives, that we may find that those empty tombs in our lives will be illuminated by the saving light of Jesus. Today, Lord, send your blessing upon our radio audience, those who listen to us each week, those who join us from time to time, and those who are first-time listeners today. Watch over their days and break into their lives when they face challenges and they need assurance from you in their walk that you are with them today and all days. We pray for the ministry that takes place through our many churches in our area we call Springfield. We also pray for the work of the Church Universal in the world, that it may today and tomorrow take the message of resurrection to be shared with those who are near and far, that they may experience change in their lives. It is by all of this that we ask you, Lord, and we ask it together in a prayer, which you taught us as we each say it in our own way, the prayer of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we get ready to go forth into the world, let us listen to the TPC choir as they lead us in one of the favorite resurrection hymns of the church. If there are any Latin speakers in our audience, you will know the song was written by Lyra Davidica in the 18th century in Latin as Surrexit Christus Hodie. Thankfully, John Arnold translated it into English, and we know it as Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Suffered you.
Today, let the love of God be poured into your heart, infusing the world with rivers of grace, and celebrate today that Good Friday is over, replaced by the power of resurrection. Amen. Thank you for joining us on this Easter Sunday. Our broadcast is not possible without the work of so many. We thank Helen Ely on our sanctuary organ, Jeff Prince, our TPC music director, and the TPC praise team, a cappella singers, and the TPC choir. Thanks to our AV crew with Scott Humphreys as our production manager, and Seth Hood, Braden Prince, and Daquan Stamps. A big thanks to Matt Miller, who does all of our post-production work. Have a blessed Easter day. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor here at TPC, and we'll see you soon. And please remember, stay safe out there.